about your giant-sized appetite?
And that is my toy.
Hey, Pete, you watching football?
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa in the Giants studios at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Coming up on the program, we'll take a look at the New York Giants' history in the 1950s. But to get things started, we take you inside the film room. Roman Oben and I had a chance to break down second-year offensive lineman Justin Pugh.
I love the competition. I mean, you're going out there every day, you're going against somebody, and it's a one-on-one battle, and your battle can help determine the outcome of 11 different guys or 10 other guys on the field. So you have to go out there and win and do your job, and, you know, everything else will, fall where it may. But that's the thing I love about it. The competition is like no other.
But great recognition and pass protection by Eli Manning and his line. They brought some guys in there. He had him in the right offense.
I think as an offensive line, you have to establish that run. I think something that we got to do up front is be physical. Get on our guys for a few seconds, and those running backs are going to make us look good.
Got behind everybody, great protection, and when he gets going, you're not catching him.
I know the future is definitely bright, and I'm looking forward to getting back out there with these guys, and obviously making the playoffs next year is the number one goal.
I'm joined by former Giants offensive lineman Roman Oben to break down Justin Pugh. You know, here's a guy that, you know, inserted at the right tackle spot as a rookie.
Right.
Year number two, what were some of the things about his game that you liked?
One thing that he improved is just his hand placement and his foot drive. And as an offensive lineman, you know, he's not a 6'7", 330-pound guy. We're similar size, 6'4", about 310. So you've got to have good hand placement and good foot drive.
All right, we're going to take a look at some examples of Justin Pugh in action from 2014.
Yeah, this first play we're going to see Justin Pugh here. You're going to see him go inside, and this could be considered a position block, but he keeps the defender walled in, and he continues to drive his feet. And you got to remember, it takes a while for the running back to actually get to the line of scrimmage, so you've got to sustain your blocks a lot longer.
Sets up a positive run for Andre Williams inside the 5-yard line. Another look at Justin Pugh in action.
Yeah, in this play, we're going to look at him really sitting on the bull rush. And this is the advantage when you're a little bit shorter offensive tackle. 6'4 versus 6'6, 6'7. You're going to see Justin Pugh right here. He gets hit in the middle and look at him back up. And now watch him reestablish his feet and his leverage with that perfect body lean. Now the extension with his inside hand, preventing the defensive end from getting to the quarterback. Eli Manning completes a pass to Jennings for a big game.
All right, so that's Justin Pugh at work and kind of making an adjustment when it looked like he was going to be beat. Makes the adjustment. Eli's able to check down to the running back. So as you look at Justin Pugh's game through 2 years and a lot of starts, what are some of the areas that he has to get better in to be a more consistent player?
Well, the only criticism you hear about Justin Pugh is that maybe he can go to guard and be an effective puller in traps, and especially in this offense with McAdoo. But he could play right tackle or left guard. He just needs to continue to improve, better tape study, and just do the things that it takes to become a good offensive lineman. It takes about your third or fourth year, Bob, to really be settled at the offensive line position. He's a guy that can be versatile on both sides.
That's a breakdown of Justin Pugh inside the film room. One of the reasons why the Giants liked him, he could play tackle or guard, which leads us to this week's edition of Off Guard.
Baseball, 100%.
Soccer. Never played a day in my life, but I think I would have been good at it.
Boxing. That's easy.
Cricket or polo or something like that, I don't know.
Favorite superhero, the Hulk.
Thor.
Favorite superhero, Batman. He's the only one that do it naturally.
Favorite toy as a kid, probably yo-yo.
Football.
Favorite toy as a kid? Oh man, I had this oven where you could make like gooey, slimy candy. So it wasn't no easy bake oven. It was a candy making oven.
That's this week's edition of Off Guard. When we come back, we'll look at the glory days of the New York Giants, the 1950s, as we continue with Giants Access Blue after this. We're back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. In 2014, the Giants celebrated 90 years of New York Giants football. And today we'd like to take a look at one of the glory decades, the 1950s. In 1956, the Giants began playing their games in historic Yankee Stadium, and the players could not have been more pleased.
There was nothing like playing at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it was like playing in a Hall of Fame.
In their inaugural season at Yankee Stadium, New York would advance to the NFL championship game against the Chicago Bears in a sneakers game sequel.
And Triplett blast 20 yards down to the 2-yard line. All those pretty white sneakers.
We had a magical season and wound up beating the Chicago Bears for the NFL championship 47-7 in Yankee Stadium. And to win the championship in New York was something very special, too.
The 40-point drubbing gave the Giants their first championship in 18 years, and it marked the emergence of a new era of big blue defensive dominance.
In 56, I think the key to our great year was our defense.
Today you will play pro football, riding on Sam Huff's back. We've wired him for sound with a tiny transistorized radio transmitter.
What do you do that for, 88? You do that one more time, 88, I'm going to sock you one. Now, don't do that. You run again, you'll get a broken nose. Don't do that. Hit me on the chin of your elbow.
Sam Huff, Andy Robustelli, and Dick Modulesky were the core of a new defense that would dominate the league in the late 1950s. And in 1958, the New York Giants and Baltimore Colts would meet for the NFL championship in front of more than 65,000 fans at Yankee Stadium. A record national television audience tuned in and watched as the visitors bolted to a 14-3 halftime advantage. In the fourth quarter, Charlie Connerly's pass to Frank Gifford put the Giants ahead 17-14.
Amazing Giants take the lead.
But a late rally by the Colts tied the game, setting up the first sudden death overtime in NFL history.
The result is the first application in the history of the sudden death rule. The Colts at the line of scrimmage.
And although the Giants would eventually lose,
United States begins to Amici and the ball game is over. Alan Amici has scored the touchdown, and the Baltimore Colts are the professional football champions of the world.
The day's drama would thrust the game of football into the national spotlight.
I think it was the wise and very intelligent use of television that had helped this game pick up fans around the entire country. And all of a sudden, people were watching football more than anything they watched on television. And it became a real boost. I mean, it just grew up overnight. The people who probably recognized that growth sooner than most were the people on Madison Avenue. The entire advertising world was controlled on Madison Avenue. And they were just absolutely caught up with pro football. We did advertisements for anything and everything. we were easy, if you might say. They were streetwalkers. But it was just a magic time to be here.
Hey, Joe, are you still using that greasy kid stuff on your hair?
What else?
Vitalis. That's what else.
You ask most pro football fans who played in the championship in 1958, Baltimore and New York. Johnny Unagi, I remember him, and Charlie Connerly was a quarterback. People remember that game.
When you look back at the history of this game and the contribution that each and every one of these ball players made, it was just such a magical time. And it was a new era coming in to pro football, which made it possible for today's television and radio and everything else and bringing the fans. And now we have the number one sport in the world, pro football.
The 1950s put the New York Giants on the map. They became celebrities, men about town in the Big Apple. Now it's time for this week's edition of Giants Trivia as we turn it over to Stevie Brown.
Who holds the Giants record for most interceptions returned for a touchdown in a season? The answer coming up after the break. Dick Lynch holds the Giants' record for most interceptions returned for a touchdown in a season, with three in 1963.
Well, broadcast partner Dick Lynch, part of the Giants trivia. Dick, one of the stars of the Giants in the glory days of the 1950s. Well, it's time for this week's edition of Take 5. Jamil McClain, in his first year with the Giants, grew up in Philadelphia. So, in Take 5, he asked his teammates what they knew about the city of brotherly love.
Hey, Giants fans. This is Jamil McClain of your New York Giants. And we got another edition of Take 5. And I'm from Philly, so we're going to see what my teammates even know about Philly. They got to know their teammates. So, they know where I'm from. Let's see. True or false, the first American flag was made in Philly?
Cheese steaks.
Yeah, you got cheese on your teeth.
True or false was the question.
I'll say true.
So I got to give him an introduction. Don't look at him. All right, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Don't look at him. All right. No. Don't look at him. So what fictional boxer is most popular in Philly?
That's Rocky.
Rocky.
Yeah.
What is Philadelphia known for?
Cheesesteak?
He did got that. That is cheesesteak. We do make some amazing cheesesteaks. Don't forget the cream cheese. Now, who is the most famous Philly boxer that's real?
Bernard Hopkins. Come on now. I'm on here, baby. Let's go. I'm on there.
Bernard Hopkins, B-Hop, my dog, you my boy. That is very true. That is very true. But this answer says someone else. Muhammad Ali fought him all the time.
To my Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier. There you go. Hey, Joe, appreciate you for my first boxing trunks. We ride in Philly. Where was the Declaration of Independence signed?
It was signed in Haiti, 1804.
I don't know.
Right. When in doubt, C. Just pick C.
Look, y'all ready to tell him? Right here? No.
It was signed in Philadelphia, by the way.
How you seeing? Come on here, man.
What rapper turned actor was raised in Philly? I ain't even gonna give you what area.
Will Smith.
What song made him popular in the beginning?
Summertime.
Summertime is one, but I'll give him that one. True or false? Did Philadelphia start the soft pretzel?
Yes.
Was that true or false, though?
Oh, true.
True. What do they call the city of Philadelphia? The city of... Oh, brother, Chia, Chia. Brother, no, no. Hey. Good job, Larry.
We thank Jamil McClain for handling this week's edition of Take 5. Well, Jason Pierre-Paul can get after the quarterback, but he might want to try his hand as a runway model as he partook in a fashion show.
This is my very first fashion show I'm walking in, and I'm going to kill it tonight. See this line here, look. And over this, it's going to come back to me, and I might drop it like it's hot. I got a nice tie. It's like the tie is made of chain. This is the tie I was talking about, y'all.
Come on out, Jason Pierre-Paul. Yay, Jason!
This is my first time actually walking the runway. And I'm going to make it a signing, and it's a great experience. See, when it comes to fashion and athletes, you know, you got to have fashion. Let me tell you something. When it comes to D-line with the Giants, I'm probably the only D-line that got that fashion work down. I just want you to know that. Kiwi, best dress on the team, it is myself. So, there you go, right there. Now, if you're looking for the second best dress, I'll say myself.
We're going to recruit Jason for my magazine.
We're back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. One of the real fun events this past season was Taste of the Giants. And a little twist, a couple of the players decided to compete against each other with a little help. So Stevie Brown squared off against Jeff Schwartz. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Papa, voice of the New York Giants, and we welcome you to the Taste of the Giants.
We are humbled to be here tonight. I just want to let everybody to know that whatever's not eaten tonight is going to a church in Hackensack and a church in Newark.
Today we have a squash trio tasting. So this is a delicate squash crab cake, a roasted acorn squash soup, and for dessert we have a homemade pumpkin whoopie pie.
We have tonight slow-cooked Meyer beef brisket, a little shaved Parmesan, truffle oil, microgreens on a crostini.
I'm telling you this now. If you're going to eat one, you're going to want another. So what's the thing?
Thank you.
I'll be here.
It's amazing.
I'll be here.
We have some minnow clam. It's done in a white wine sauce.
Enjoy, man.
It's good.
It's good. The best. That's a good smile.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Great short rib sandwich, sweet onions, gorgonzola.
Good. Awesome. Appreciate it.
This is a barbecue beef tostada with pico de gallo and queso molija.
JP said this is good.
Pumpkin soup, right? It's on point. No, I don't even like pumpkin.
I said that's some of the best soup I ever tasted in my life right there. And I don't even know what pumpkins taste like. I don't even know what it tastes like. It tastes great.
What we're going to do is we're going to spice it up a little bit and have a little cook-off. We have Flick Executive Chef Angelo Basilione and Stevie Brown of the Giants. They're going to prepare a fusion taco for you. Come on. All right, Stevie. See, here we go. That is spectacular. This is awesome. Well done, gentlemen. We have Eric Borgia, who is the executive chef here for MetLife Stadium and Delaware North, and Jeff Schwartz, and you guys have a grilled cheese duck confit. Outstanding. We are going to count the vote. This is unbelievable. It was that close. We got a late rush. The win goes to the Fusion Taco. Thank everybody. Listen, everybody, enjoy the rest of your evening. Remember what this night is all about, making sure that game day experience food winds up in the hands of people that can really use it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and we look forward to seeing you again next year. Taste of the Giants was a rousing success in 2014. Can't wait to see the competition next year as well. Well, one of the really cool things that the Giants do for their home games is take part in the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Come on in, guys. Billy's a Giant fan. He's a big time. He's also the captain of his team over there.
That's a lot of big guys.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kathy. It's your deal, kiddo.
Well, I thought we'd read. Billy's a muscular disease, so he's not able to vocalize. So we do it for it, but he can. His cognitive level's fine. So we thought we'd leave. Who I am? Who am I? So the first and last names have a total of 15 letters. What I enjoy about fourth grade, he likes to Skype with his class. He does a lot of schools at home. This makes me laugh jokes. If I could be someone for one day, it would be Eli Manning.
There you go.
Because he's strong and fast.
You got one, right?
My favorite restaurant is Mom's Cooking. My favorite subject is reading. My favorite way to exercise is football practice. Him the other day what he would want to do if he didn't have his disease. The first thing he said is that he'd like to talk. And the second thing he said he'd like to do is play football. And I just want to let you know that you guys are a huge inspiration for him.
Thank you for being here, Kevin. We appreciate that.
A little piece of Billy. Come on in. Come on in.
Let's get a piece of Billy. Come on in, guys. Come on in. Come on in.
Billy.
Let's get a team now. 1, 2, 3.
Team!
It really is wonderful to watch the players interact on Fridays and then on game day with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That wraps it up for this week's show. Make sure you join us each and every Saturday night right here on My Nine for another edition of Giants Access Blue. Follow the Giants on Giants.com, on Facebook.com/New York Giants, and, of course, on Twitter at Giants. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.